Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Beretta. We're just three gals that like to sit around, drink coffee, and talk about true crime.
Oh, you don't say.
No, I do say.
I heard they say that about us.
Oh, yeah. I hear tell that those ladies were in the nook just talking it up.
Just talking about that. Crime that's true.
Kooks in the nukes.
Just some kooks in the nukes. Those crazy grannies.
Crazy grannies?
Crannies.
Oh.
One day we'll be the crazy grannies, but today, just crazy crannies.
Perfect. And speaking of crazy crannies, Amanda.
Your crannies are crazy.
I like cranberries.
Yeah.
I'm crazy for cranberries. And I don't mind the band The Cranberries either.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too.
Yeah,
do
I can't.
Linger in your brain?
We tried. Did we? I don't know if I can segue this. What's happening?
Gosh, I just feel like a zombie.
Oh, okay.
There
it is.
Oh, here's a story for you.
There in your head, beans. In your heads, have you ever heard of a man named Tom Justice? Are we still recording?
We are, yes.
All right, cool.
No. I have not heard of Tom Justice.
But I feel like you're making it up. It's a name
I know,
made
right?
Up. Yeah.
It sounds a bit made up. He's for real. He's a real dude. So in his teens, he fell in love with cycling, and he eventually trained with the U.S. Olympic team in 1994.
Ah.
So he was a natural-born talent from day one, which seemed to be kind of his own downfall. He was known to kind of fall back on raw talent, and, you know, he lacked discipline. The 1996 Olympic sprinter Bill Clay would say about Tom, "Tom's fast, but he doesn't train right. He needs to apply himself." As Tom's dreams of becoming an Olympian grew from his reach, he started to put together a list of other careers that he was interested in. The list included helicopter pilot, lock picker.
No.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, you can do that legally.
You can. No, you can.
Priest.
Okay.
EMT.
Ah.
Later on, he would add BR for bank robber. So this next bit... This next little bit here describing this, I'm going to...
Hold on. Nicole needs a moment
to collect herself. Her
you ready? I'm crying. Oh. I don't know why.
It just tickles me.
You know what I want to do? BR.
BR.
Brenna Robber.
Brenna Robber.
My brain was like trying to figure out what it was before you
I should have given you a minute to be like, and what
bank
do you think
robber.
It is? BR.
I was like, breakfast, nope.
Yes, breakfast recruiter. Mm-hmm. Yes, I am a breakfast recruiter into my mouth every morning. Yes.
In my mouth. Mm-hmm.
A barn roamer.
Barn roamer.
Sorry, you were drinking.
That
was really unfair.
That was my fault. Excuse me. I should know better that you're a funny ass lady, Brenna.
She took it over my mouth. Some garbage is going to fall out.
Oh, no.
I'm just letting you guys go while I drink my coffee. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Okay. All right. So this next bit. All right, this is straight from Chicago Magazine. I have put this in the show notes so that you know that I am going to plagiarize the next bit. And only because, like, they really did a great job of writing it out. So I'm like, I'm just going to read what they wrote because they did it better than I ever would. Okay.
It's a quote.
Here we go. Yes. This is a long
You're in your pitching. It's fine. Yeah.
No, I'm just letting you know. Not the whole episode. Just like this.
You're fine.
Like, dear God. Can you imagine? The rest of the episode will be plagiarized. But can it be if I told you I plagiarized it? I don't know. All right. Here we go. All right. So.
Barbarian Ringer. I'm just thinking
about band name. Okay. All right.
BR. Go on. Sorry.
May I?
Yeah.
All right. You got this. Okay. The heist was timed around Halloween 1998.
Ooh.
For a disguise, Tom went to Elim Wig and Beauty Supply in Uptown.
Ooh.
In the 1930s, John Dillinger hid out in that neighborhood. Rumor has it he altered his appearance with help from a plastic surgeon who had an office above the Green Mill Cocktail Lounge. On the short list of notorious American bank robbers, several had spent time in Chicago. That rich history added to the allure for Tom. At the wig shop, Tom considered his options. A hot pink Ziggy Stardust number, white blonde pigtails, or afros in various shades of the rainbow.
Okay.
Ultimately, he settled on black braids with short bangs for only $50. Only after he left did he realize it made him look like Rick James. 3 days later, on October 23rd, Tom entered his parents' garage and flicked on the light, which glimmered across its dad's white Porsche 928. Apparently, that's a car thing.
Oh, sure. I don't know. Cars.
Yeah, cars. Yes, cars.
Oh,
so the other parking spaces were empty. Tom's parents wouldn't be back for hours. His younger sister, Jennifer, was off at college. He grabbed his messenger bag and Fuji AX500 and pedaled down towards Libertyville. This is Libertyville, Illinois, by the way.
What's the Fuji? Is that a bike?
I believe it's a bike.
Oh, great.
Very, very fancy schmancy bike.
Fancy bike.
Tom coasted up to a tree-lined fence between two houses. Over his cycling spandex, he slid a pair of khakis, a blue Oxford button-down, a striped tie, and a navy blue blazer with a jack-o'-lantern decal pinned to it. He slipped on his wig, then a snug black baseball cap. For a finishing touch, he added dark, oversized sunglasses reminiscent of Jackie O.
All right.
As he walked to the American National Bank branch, teenage girls in a passing car catcalled. Tom pointed back like the Fonz, retorting, "Hey!" He stopped at a payphone and placed an anonymous call to the Libertyville Police Department headquarters, a mere 2 blocks from his target. "Yeah, hi, I'm at Adler Park. There's a man with a rifle walking around in the woods." "Well, thank you, sir. We'll come check it out," said the voice on the other end. One less patrol car near the bank.
Oh, my God.
A silver-haired 60-something held the door when Tom arrived. As Tom approached a teller, he perked up immediately. Halloween had apparently come early this year. Then the love child of Rick James and Jackie O handed her an index card but wouldn't let go. Tom had no intention of leaving behind evidence. As an awkward tug of war ensued, the teller leaned in and read the message. Tense, she stared into Tom's dark sunglasses. He slid his white plastic bag across the counter, and she loaded it up with cash.
Oh.
Tom strode outside, bag in hand. His heartbeat surged. His legs tingled. He looked at his wrist watch. There it is. The whole exchange had lasted 45 seconds. 2 minutes later, Tom was beside his bike, feverishly stripped down. He tied his disguise and the plastic bag onto a square piece of black satin and tied the corners into to create a little bundle, which he shoved into his messenger bag. After bunny hopping gracefully into the street, Tom casually cycled back to his parents' circular driveway.
I mean, they only had the one.
Circular. Eight. So next door lived Pat and Denise Carey, who had moved in the previous spring. The 47-year-old Pat was a meticulous mower, changing directions each week for a more uniform cut. Also Libertyville's chief of police. Tom parked his bike in the garage, kicked off his shoes, tiptoed into the basement. He knew he'd never be able to tell anyone about this. Still, he wasn't remorseful. Banks are insured, and he didn't care about the money anyway. He'd choreographed, costumed, and delivered a flawless performance. His getaway vehicle was poetic. The sense of euphoria overwhelmed him. Years later, he'd compare the rush of robbing banks to the sensation of drinking 4 cups of coffee, clink, and taking an intensely hot shower while holding back the urge to pee. All right.
What?
Because you don't pee in the shower. Can I just say that? I'm sorry.
Why don't you pee in the shower?
Please don't pee in the shower.
Why can't you pee in the shower?
Because it's gross. Because it's where you get clean. You can't pee in it. I feel very strongly about this.
And
we
clean it afterwards.
No, it doesn't. That's like saying that you clean your feet because the soap just washes down.
But you're still cleaning it.
All right.
But we're saying you're cleaning it after. Yeah. So that'd be like you don't clean your feet until at the very end. He's still cleaning out the shower, right?
Yeah, but don't pee in there. All right, we're not going to get on this. Okay. All right, it had been a long time since Tom felt this alive, or this important. Kneeling on the shag carpet, Tom removed the black satin bundle from his messenger bag. He looked at the money and began to weep. Okay. All right. So Tom had, come out of that first robbery with about $5,580. But he knew there was no way for him to spend it without getting caught.
Right.
So he ended up taking two $20 bills as a souvenir for himself and then he split the rest between two brown paper bags. He tossed them into dumpsters behind fast food restaurants, just hoping people would find them. About a year later, on October 27th, and this is 1999 now, Tom robbed the Lake Forest branch of Northern Trust. He once again sped off on his bike, and this time made off with about $3,247. This time he took all the 20s and the 100s out, put them in bags again, and then discarded them in alleys where he thought unhoused people would find them. He put the $2 bills in a bag and hid it in a bush near his apartment. He was able to watch as some little girls who were playing found the money. It was a rush for him to, you know, as he thought, basically rob from the rich and give to the poor. His third robbery was on January 14th, 2000 at the LaSalle Bank in Evanston, Illinois. He sped away on his bike with $2,599, again, giving the money away. After a while, this still didn't fulfill Tom, and he knew he only had a little bit of time left to, like, retry to get into the Olympics, because he's been trying to, you know, be an Olympic cyclist. So he's like, all right, I'm going to move back to California to train. And well, wouldn't you know it, he got bored and decided, okay, maybe back to robberies. So February 16th, he hit a bank in Ensenadas. A few days later, on the 29th, in Solana Beach, maybe, I hope. And then back to Ensenadas the next day. So on March 24th, he pulled a doubleheader, robbing two banks, one in Ensenadas, one in Carlsbad. At this one, he made a whopping $10,274. This time he kept all the ones and the fives, but he hid the rest of the money around in public restrooms and beaches and things like that for people to find. Soon after this, Tom threw out his back and knew that his Olympic dreams were finally over.
Girl, wow. Same. Sorry, Tom. Right? Sorry about it, Tom. I get it.
He tried to move back to Chicago with his girlfriend Laura, but she dumped him. Mm. He got an apartment with someone off Craigslist. Turns out it was a cop. Oh, so you'd think that this would help Tom stay out of trouble, but all it did was arouse him.
Of course it did.
That's to pull off these robberies while living with a cop, it would be such a rush. So he just kept going. He robbed his 13th bank while living with his cop roommate, George. I guess he came home from that robbery and there were a bunch of squad cars outside his house, so he was like, oh, fuck. But he was just George and his friends hanging out. Tom brought a couple $1,000 past them into his room. Eventually, he stopped giving away the money. Unfortunately, it seemed like the guilt started to get to him, and it was like a slow decline in some pretty heavy drug use for Tom. And then because he needed the money to feed his addiction, the cycle of robbing banks started up again. That was until his bike was stolen. And he didn't want to replace it with just anything. That wouldn't be good enough for someone who is riding at basically an Olympic level. Eventually, he was able to get word of a Steelman for sale. So Brent Steelman made incredible bikes that would start around $2,500, like just for the frame. So he went to pick up his new bike, and to his dismay, it was painted like street cone orange.
Oh.
But it was still a great bike, so he purchased it.
Beans! I wanted to take a moment to talk about a company that I love very much. It's called Adventure Dog Coffee Company. Not only do they offer a specialty-grade coffee that is roasted fresh to order, literally it is some of the best beans I've had the honor to brew for the Breakfast Nook, 20% of the proceeds from that coffee goes to train rescue dogs as specialty service dogs for veterans. To learn more about this incredible company and order your bag of coffee today, visit adventuredogcoffee.co. Use special promo code MURDER. That's MURDER at checkout to receive a 20% discount just for being a bean. You can also check out their link in our show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
Fancy bike, but no job? Always money in his pocket, though. So, like, the people close to him started to assume he was dealing drugs. He wasn't. Obviously, he was robbing the banks. Yeah. He went to his sister one day, though, showed her all the cash, and admitted he'd been robbing banks. He then asked if she wanted to get in on, like, one of the heists, but she declined. She was like, dude, come on. No, yeah. Not cool. All right, not cool. He started attending Narcotics Anonymous meetings, but he didn't really take them seriously. He thought just going was enough. Like, well, I went to the meeting, so, like, I did it, right? No. So one day he announced to everyone that he was moving back to California to become a teacher. But then on March 7th, 2002, someone robbed the Union Bank near Main Street in Walnut Creek, California. Mm. As Officer Thompson was getting to the scene, he was almost T-boned by a cyclist speeding away on a bright orange bike carrying a messenger bag. Something in his gut told him he needed to follow that guy. So immediately, though, the cyclist, like, before he could even turn on his lights, the cyclist jumped off his bike, was messing with the back wheel. Officer Thompson pulled over and was like, hey, do you mind if I take a look in your bag? And Tom was like, yeah, no problem. I just have to unclip. You know, these pedals are actually counterbalanced, so I need to click both in order to get them out at the same time. That was bullshit. That's not a thing at all. He just wanted to be like, don't worry about it, because I'm going to put both my feet on the fucking pedals, but yeah. It's to get them off. No, he bolts away.
Bike man.
There
bike
it is. Man. Bike man. Da-na-na-na. All right, so officers pursued bike man, who swerved around a police car, crossed two lanes of traffic. He crossed two lanes of traffic before hitting a curb. He then sped through a parking lot and headed toward a tall fence bordering a dense thicket of 15-foot bamboo. Police thought they had him, but there was no Tom in sight. Just a creek flowing 30 feet below, amid, you know, fallen tree branches, dry brush, and piles of wet leaves.
He turned into bamboo.
Oh, God.
There it is. Can you? He's like, he's underwater with the one piece of bamboo. That's yeah. how he's breathing, right? Yeah. That's how they do it, yeah. But just like that, Tom disappeared. But the police still had his very specific bike to go on. Mm-hmm. Tom hadn't actually disappeared. He just got freaky lucky. He had slid down that 30-foot embankment, crashed violently into a pile of leaves, but he was fine. But as the cops were awaiting backup, he walked 50 feet upstream and just happened to find a 2-foot-wide hole, something like a beaver made, and then he was able to squirm inside and hide.
What?
Once the coast was clear, he climbed back up and walked into the back of a nearby high school where he had stashed a disguise behind a dumpster. He walked down Main Street until he got into his getaway car, drove home to his apartment in Oakland. So 1 month after the robbery, right? Yeah. 1 month after the robbery, the manager of a Chicago bike shop was looking at the Steelman website where they put a be on the lookout for this orange-colored Steelman bike that was involved in a bank robbery. He remembered that orange frame, and he knew who he'd bought it from and who he sold it to. He called the Walnut Creek police and told him, he sold it to a man named Tom Justice. Eventually, police found Tom at his parents' house in Libertyville, Illinois. He had tried to go to Mexico to get an illegal passport to flee, but ended up getting scammed out of $600. He knew things weren't going well now. The police had the bike, so I think he just kind of like wanted to see his parents before shit hit the fan. Mm-hmm. As far as they knew, he'd been working as a bike messenger in California. They had no idea about the robberies or Tom's drug use at all. As soon as Tom left, he had squad cars surrounding him with lights and sirens. Tom was asked to get on the ground as he was placed in handcuffs. At this point, he'd robbed 26 banks in 16 cities across 3 states. Whoa. And in the end, Tom was sentenced to 11 years in federal prison. He was released in 2011 and found work in a donut shop. He never was able to answer his father when they asked, why did you do it? An FBI agent recalled asking Tom, what'd you do with all the money? To which Tom replied, nothing. And that's the story of Tom Justice, the almost Olympic cyclist who used his bike as a getaway vehicle and almost got away with it. Final sips.
Tom Justice. He already
Justice
had a
for Justice.
Name. Yeah. He's like, well, they already got a superhero name.
And then he's like, yeah, right. He's like, it's justice for the poor. Which, like, I mean, all right. But then what if those, like, he doesn't even know. What if those people got in trouble for having that money? And then they got arrested for that? I mean, we don't know, right? Because he just kind of put it.
I mean, they'd be like, well, you're not the guy, so here, like, you know, they'd be like, you're not the person that robbed the bank, so
yeah,
here
they
you
called
go,
him,
yeah.
They called him the choir, like, the choir boy robber or something, or the choir, because he would stand with his hands folded in front of him, like, as if he was singing in a choir, and he would always just stand there with, like, his hat and, like, very quiet and put his hands on the table where you could see them kind of thing. They call him the choir boy. And then that's one of the police was like, that looks like the choir boy. Oh, and he's got a bank. Ah, I see. Yeah.
The choir boy. Watch out. He robs banks.
Cardio is good. Yeah,
cycling
that's how
great.
You can get
that's
away
That's how you rob banks, apparently.
That's how you can get away with 20-some.
Six. Yeah.
So cardio is good, guys.
That's what we learned.
Yes. Yeah. Final sip. Just do a little bit. Just do a little bit of cardio every day, and then one day you can run from the cops 26 times.
Yeah. What? It's just such. It's such an interesting, like, dynamic of thoughts. I'm gonna be an Olympic cyclist. I'm gonna rob banks. Like,
victimless crime.
What am I? What else are you gonna use? Okay, I can get away really fast from the scene of a crime. Well, I could rob banks and get out of there real fast. And he was smart about it. He would, like, go change. He would have his, like, biking clothes underneath, so he would take off all of his stuff, and then he would just look like a random biker. Mm-hmm. Just look like a messenger bag. Just whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and he didn't want people to find out who he was. You know, sometimes people will do these crimes and they want credit for it, right? But it's like, on one hand, it's like becoming, like, winning the Olympics or, like, being in the Olympics, people know who you are. So it's like, not necessarily fame, but an idea of fame. And then the total opposite of, like, secretly robbing these banks and not doing anything with the money and leaving it for random people and not wanting anyone to know. It's like these two extremes that he wants to do. It's very interesting. How'd you find that story?
I think this was one of the TikTok-y guys.
Oh, okay.
Because I found a couple where it's like I was originally going to do a couple little TikTok-y guys, and then I realized there was a lot more about this guy than I thought. So I was like, oh, we'll just tell his story. But, like, you know, unfortunately, guys, the whole Muffin Man thing is not real. He never existed. The first British serial killer was a woman. It's not a Muffin Man who lured children and killed them or killed rival bakers. He doesn't exist.
What? I don't think I know anything.
Oh, that was
about
also
this.
On TikTok.
Oh, I'm not super great about the TikTok.
Oh yeah. I watch a lot of TikTokies. So but I always write them down and then look them up and then actually do the research. And this one I'm like, huh, that's true. That's funny. They called him an Olympic cyclist who used it, you know, whatever. And I'm like, he never actually made it to the Olympics.
Almost Olympic.
Almost Olympian.
Yeah. Everyone needs a hobby.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he must have had, you know, great legs.
Mm-hmm. Strong
legs. Wow. This is so funny. I just keep thinking about the two extremes of his Mike brain.
Yep.
And, like, not really, he probably just doesn't even understand what the impulse is, what the why actually is, which is why he can't even give an answer. But there is some impulse there that somehow ties these two extremes together. But
he just wants to be known for the right stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's like, if I'm going to be famous, I'm going to be famous for biking, not for robbing banks.
And giving the money to strangers.
Right.
He's like, I'm kind of Robin Hood, but I don't want no one to know.
Also, right. Like, as soon as anybody knows anything, your ability to do it goes down.
Yeah.
So he's just got to do it for himself. Like, spending the money, all that stuff. It's just such a funny thing to, like, know immediately. And be like, I'm going to rob this bank. Oh, I can't even spend this money. Oh, well.
All right, well, I'll give it away.
Yeah, because it was more about the thrill, maybe, than, like, actually, like, the desire to have that money, because he just gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
until he needed it for drugs.
Right, which, like, he started using the drugs because
drugs will
he
do
couldn't
that.
Do the Olympic thing anymore, right?
Yeah, he hurt his back, and then, yeah, depression. And he also felt a lot of guilt for robbing the banks, so he would do the drugs because he felt guilty, but then he had a drug problem, so he robbed more banks. It's just a vicious cycle.
Was any of that also due to, like, pain? Because I know sometimes when people get injured like that, they start
using... I don't know. I didn't see anything about chronic pain or anything like that, but I think it was more depression.
Okay.
Walt Whitman said, we contain multitudes.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for possessing Brenna and giving us that quote today.
Thank you. Go surreal. Bye.
Yay, I knew it.
What was that, guys?
Oh,
I just missed it.
It was crazy.
My coffee.
Oh, man. That was such an interesting story.
Yeah,
thank you
for
bringing
it.
It's so
good.
My brain is still like, whoa, it's too extreme. I wish I knew more about the brain so I could understand it more. But that's great. Thank you for bringing that to the breakfast nook.
Welcome.
Thomas Justice.
Tom Justice.
Serving up justice to the people.
To the banks.
To himself.
Yep.
Giving himself a little bit of justice.
Just a little bit of justice. Beans, thank you so much for joining us here in the Breakfast Nook and sharing your coffee with us.
Woo!
We look forward to sharing more coffee and cases with you here in the Breakfast Nook on this lovely podcast that we like to call
Morning Murders.
RB. Barnacle Barnacle
riots.
Riots.
Barnivorous Rudolphs.
Thank you for listening to Morning Murders. Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MourningMurders.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening!
Millions, okay? We have, on Weed D&D, we're called the Helping Committee.
Yes.
And we say we'll help everyone. Or else.
Or else.
I like that. Like, or we're here to help. Or else. It's just always that.
Like, what's the oh?
You'll find out.
Oh,
no. You'll find out, Nicole.
What's that put to the edge? And I'm a bunch of Nicole.
Nicolas, baby. Let me in your way.
Brenna, I'm gonna take a sip of coffee.
It is. Do it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, queers.
Cheers. Hey, I'll clink to that.
Yay.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
My leg is asleep. Oh my goodness, my leg is asleep. Okay.
Hold on, I need
wake up, leg.
Hold on, my leg. Also, hold on.
My leg.
Like SpongeBob.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the kids do.
There it is.
Someone got that tattooed on their leg in the SpongeBob font. My leg.
Oh my, that's funny.
My leg. Yeah.
All right.
Because there's always one yelling.
Always. Always.
My leg.
Okay.
Sorry.